Before we get into the text this morning, there are a couple things that we have to understand as Christians. If we start out Christianity the right way, we will finish Christianity the right way. If we start out with the understanding that, first of all, it wasn't because I made a negotiation with God. It wasn't because I went to God and said, God, because I'm so special and because I'm so unique and because I'm so wonderful that if you will deliver me from sin, I'll serve you. It didn't work that way. None of us went to God on our own merit and said, God, you owe me something because I'm so special. We must first understand as a Christian that God saved us because he loves us, period. It wasn't because we were talented. It wasn't because we had some special ability. The bottom line, he saved us because he wanted to. There was nothing that you or I could do to help me, amen? When it comes to our deliverance from the bondage of sin and death, we must understand something. We played no part in it. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't rescue our families. We couldn't undo the damage, amen, that we have caused ourselves. It took a mighty act on God's part. God's grace is the reason that you and I have the opportunity to be free, amen? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You see, it's not because of what we have done. It's all because of what he has done. Every single thing in life God has enabled us to do is because he's already done it. And he simply says, walk in the works which I've already done. Amen. So we must first understand that when we start out Christianity, we didn't save ourselves. And we often think that we did. Well, I went to church and I made the decision to follow Jesus. It don't nothing work that way. We come to God, the Bible says, because the Spirit of the Lord draws us. If God didn't give you the mind to come to church this morning, you wouldn't be here at church this morning. If God didn't give you the Spirit to wake up in the right shoes, in the right place, in the right opportunity to get you where you need to be, you would not be here. I want you to understand something, that before we were saved, we were in bondage. I don't know if y'all understand that. Yeah. Let me tell you the type of bondage we were in. You ever seen someone that's in the nut house? And they got a straight jacket on them. They can't do nothing. The only way they're going to get out that jacket, is someone comes and unties them. And someone comes and sees they're in a pitiful state and can not only deal with their insanity, the reason why they're in that jacket in the first place, but can also do what is necessary to set them free. Amen? Amen. Me and you were all headed down the wrong direction. We had no desire whatsoever to turn around. We were so lost that we didn't even know we were lost. We thought we had a light, but in reality, all it was routine. See, sometimes people mistake life with routine. And there is a difference between life and routine. Routine, I get up, brush my teeth, put on my clothes, go out and do the same thing I did the other day. Every single day, 365 days a year. That's a routine. Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again is a routine. But when the Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, when I get up in the morning, every day is a new day. Every day is a new opportunity. There is nothing the same about God when it comes to a walk. He'll take you to a different place, to a different level, to a different understanding. So we have to understand that what Jesus has given us, life, it should never be the same. The only things that are the same and consistent are God's love. It is the same today as it was yesterday and forevermore shall be. We also understand something this morning, that before Jesus came into our situation, we did not have life, amen. Amen. But God in his greatness saw us in our troubles. And before we could even cry out, he sent his son, amen. God did it for us. And now what God requires of us, should we so choose to serve him, is obedience, amen. Amen. He laid down his life for us, and because of that fact, he has the right to ask of us anything that he will, amen. This morning I'll be preaching on a message simply called grace and obedience. How many here have given their life to the Lord? Just raise your hand. How many have said, Lord, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life? But what I want you to do is I'm going to read the text this morning, is understand in the first couple verses of this chapter, it's merely God's grace. What he has done to an undeserving people, amen. And the word of God reads, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shem, and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, and for the judges, and for the officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac," meaning that he gave it, just gave it, "I gave unto Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and also Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among all them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and came into the sea, and the Egyptian pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and dwelt in the wilderness a long season." Now understand what the Lord is saying. This is God Almighty speaking through Joshua. "I have given, I have led, I have delivered, I have done this." Not once is he stating what they have done. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 8, "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand," meaning I delivered them into your hand, "that you might possess their land, and destroy them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose and warred against Israel, sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still." Meaning that, remember the story? He tried to curse him, but God could put it in him to bless him. Amen. "So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Gashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand." All of those tribes, all of those nations, God gave them. Many of them went to battle and they didn't have to fight. The soldiers fell on their own sword. God simply gave them the most phenomenal victories you could ever see. Imagine going to war and the enemy kills itself. When God gives something, he gives it because he's all-powerful, amen. And so far we see what all God is doing, amen. And verse 12 says, "And I set the hornet before you, which strayed them out from before you, even the kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and dwelt in them, of the vineyards and the oil yards, which you planted, you did not eat." Meaning that God gave them houses, gave them land, gave them buildings that they didn't sweat. He simply cast the other people out and gave them their land. Imagine you build a mansion and then you got kicked out and somebody else got it, inherited it. God gave them all those things. And he goes through all this to tell his people, "I am the only God that there ever is. I am the Lord thy God. I am the provider. I am the one that will make a way out of no way. And no other God can do what I've done." So by the Lord doing all these things, it is to show people, back in this day, there were many gods. There are many places. There are many types of worship. But God does all this to make a clear distinction between what is false and what is true. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 14, the Lord says, "Now therefore," this is the call to obedience, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil you serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, and the other gods your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites," amen,
"amen,
whose land you dwell. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Praise the Lord. So what are we learning in this text? God has done so many things for these people, for Israel. Israel that now after he's done this, he expects them to make a choice. If you remember, when Moses was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, the people began to worship a golden calf, a calf that had done nothing for them. And when Moses came down, he was furious. And let me tell you something, the moment God stops doing something does not give you the right to walk away. We have to have such a memory that God has done so many things for us that even if he's not doing something right now, 40 little days of him not sending a great miracle, we have no reason to walk away. We have no reason to turn our back on him because he has done so many things for us. So now he's calling, if you want to serve me, serve me. If you don't, leave.
Amen.
Choose this day if you're going to serve me, or choose this day to go the way of your father. As a child of God, if we have chosen Jesus Christ, then we have chosen to give up every other idol god. We have chosen to give up every other power, every other influence, and to simply submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God who we serve. Amen.
Amen.
So this is the choice that the children of God were asked to make. Do you want to serve me, who has proved himself over and over above and beyond all that you could ask or think? Or do you want to serve these false gods who have done nothing but inflict harsh labors? Amen.
Amen.
So they are called to make a choice. And this choice has to be made. Amen. You can't play around with the things of God. You either go his way the whole way, or don't go his way at all. Because in the end, it will benefit you nothing. And the people answered, as here's what they said. This is what their response was. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Amen. For the Lord our God is he that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God.
Amen.
Now the people gave him a right response. They said, we will serve the Lord. We'll lay aside every other thing and we will simply embrace the Lord, for he is our God. But the preacher says something else. The preacher makes it clear to them the penalty for giving a false confession. We find this in verse 19. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. So Joshua's making it clear. If you say this, that you're going to serve him, and then a little while down the road, you forsake the Lord. If a little while down the road, you forsake the Lord, you give up God, he's saying to you, I will not forgive your sins nor your transgressions. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn to you and do hurt and consume you after he has done you good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God is just above all things.
Amen.
And he makes it clear in his word what is right and what is wrong. He makes it clear in his word that if you want to be blessed, to obey. And he makes it clear in his word that if you don't want to be, you can be cursed.
Yes,
as a child of God, when we hear the word of God, we make a choice when we hear. We make a choice to either accept or to reject. We can hear the preacher preach, and we can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's right, I'm going to follow. Or we can sit there in our minds and think of every other reason why not to obey.
Amen.
And in the end, we will have the fruit of our labors, amen.
Amen.
But the people went on to tell Joshua in verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses, meaning they are confirming their profession. They are bearing witness to what they are making. They are making a vow, they are making a covenant before the Lord, amen. Verse 23 says, now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what should that tell you? If Lord God of Israel, it means that even though these people had experienced these things, they had still held on to some other things. Amen?
Amen.
So the Word of God is a sanctifier. It'll cut apart, it'll separate things that are not of God to make things holy as they are to be. Verse 24 says, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and then a statute and an ordinance in Shechem, and Joshua wrote the words upon the book of the law that God gave, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny their God." So what Joshua did is he made a covenant, and then he made a stone to remind the people of the words which they spoke. Amen.
Amen.
God did so many things for Israel, as we learn from the text. He brought them up out of Egypt. He gave them land to possess. He destroyed their enemies. He delivered the enemies into their hands. He blessed them when others cursed them. He gave them cities, amen, that they did not build. God proved himself. And after God proved himself thoroughly, amen, he asked for obedience.
Amen.
Now here's where we have to pay attention, amen.
Amen.
Verse 14 again says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve the Lord." And verse 2015, the key verse. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So in this verse, you're not forced to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not saying that you have to serve me. But he is saying, choose this day. I'm tired of playing around.
Amen.
I brought you all up out of Egypt. I performed these mighty works. Now you can either choose the calf, or you can choose me.
Amen.
You can either choose me, or you can go worship a pig, or a donkey, or a bird, or whatever it will be.
Great.
But you have to choose today. Who's it going to be? And Joshua said, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
And as we earlier raised our hands and said that we had committed ourselves to the Lord, we know full and well what can happen to us if we go back on our word. How many of y'all were tricked into getting saved? Were any of you tricked into getting saved? Were any of you tricked into giving the Lord your life? Did someone sweet talk to you and say, "Oh yeah, just believe in Jesus and everything will be okay and you don't have to do nothing"? Or did each and every one of you come to the full understanding that when you gave your life to Jesus, you struck a covenant with God? And we learned that in this text, the covenant that was struck with God, Joshua gave a clear warning. He gave a clear warning, didn't he? He said, "The Lord will not forgive you of your sins and your transgressions if you go back after you accept him and serve other gods."
Amen.
Were we clear on that?
Amen.
That's blasphemy. Do you know that? When you go and serve another god, when you go and worship and give yourself to another god, amen?
Amen.
So we have to understand that when we chose the Lord, we didn't have to choose him. "If it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord," Joshua says, "if it seemed evil to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites." What god do you want? That's the god you can serve. Whatever god that you're going to be faithful to, I recommend you go and worship him. Do you want to serve the Lord?
Amen.
Is the question that's asked.
Yes, yes,
Sunday Free Church, do you want to serve the Lord?
Yes,
yes.
Yes?
Then this is that day. It is time to put down idols. You see, the Lord will only allow all the congregation to to remain for a while. See, in the temple, you had the Jewish section, you had the woman section, you had the Gentile section, and God would allow them all to mingle together. But there's coming a time, my Bible says, that he will separate the clean from the unclean. There's going to come a time when he'll separate the disciples from the disciple wannabe. There's going to come a time when he'll separate the wolves in sheep's clothing from the sheep that which are true. There's going to come a time to when God says, choose you this day. And if we have chosen the Lord, then we must submit ourselves to the Lord. What God means, just by definition, is a high-powering magistrate, one whom you set yourself under, one who you take rule from and guidance from. So what would be a strange God, preacher? What are these strange gods that the children had in their midst? Let me tell you what a strange God is. Listen good, because so many people serve strange gods and they don't know what a strange God is because they just don't know. And we'll chalk it up to ignorance until today. Here's what a strange God is. Anything that takes you away from God's righteous path is a strange God.
Yes.
And I'll say it again. Anything that takes you away from God's righteous path is a strange God. God has said, the way is the narrow and broad is the way that leads into destruction. If you want to follow me, narrow is the way. There's a one way. There's not six things that are acceptable. There's not ten things that are acceptable. There is one thing that is acceptable, and that is faith in me. If you want to be my servant, don't look back into the world. You put your hand in the plow and you follow me. You don't get to turn to the left. You don't get to turn to the right. You stick with me because I've stuck with you. When you were puking as a drunk and alcoholic, I didn't turn my back on you. And now because I asked you to be a little bit of a servant, because I asked a little bit out of you, you want to turn your back on me? God says it don't work that way. There is but one way, and that is faith and obedience in God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Choose this day who you will serve. What are strange gods, preacher? Anything that takes you away from God's righteous path is a strange God. I don't want none of y'all to be mistaken this morning what that can mean. So let's go a little further. A strange God, it could be a person. It could be your very best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sister, you ain't got to go to church today. They got the big game on. Man, the big game on today. Come on, stay. Come on, sister, stay a little while. No, good and well, the Lord wants you to go to church, get some instruction. That's a strange God, leading you away from God's righteous path.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it could be your unsaved husband or wife.
You always go to church, you bunch of hypocrites, that.
No, good and well, that God wants you to stay faithful because you don't know that your testimony might bring that person to God Almighty, right? This could be a false doctrine. Could be a strange God. A doctrine telling you that you can do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, and there's no consequences.
That's right. Yeah.
It could be a false doctrine, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It could be anything that does not benefit your walk with God.
Amen.
The biggest mistake Christians make is not being Christian. Do you know that when some things come across your lap, they should just be gone? If someone comes up to me and says, Pastor, you want to go to this party? There's some hot honeys.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that person should know me well enough to know that's going to be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you know some Christians haven't seen God work in their life for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Moses up on Mount Sinai, and they think it's okay to play.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's okay to play with the world.
Mm-hmm.
How do y'all know if you play with a snake, you're going to get bitten?
Mm-hmm.
A snake is not your friend. A snake won't do anything for you but hurt you. It might come here and trick you and deceive you like Eve. But then you're going to get bit. There's going to be some fruit of that relationship. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be swallowed up wondering why? And it's because you done played with a snake.
Amen.
Anything that does not benefit your walk with God
there you go.
Is Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, that we can have discernment to know right from wrong. How dare a Christian do something wrong when they've already been shown what is right? God, what can God say? What kind of talk can we have with the Lord when we stand before Him and He says, I told you that was wrong. I showed you it was wrong. You promised to be faithful to me, but yet you're being unfaithful by your actions.
Yes.
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 Do you think you'll win that argument with God?
Yes.
No, the Bible says in 2 Peter, I believe it's when you have sinned. That's one thing. We all have sinned. Amen.
Amen.
But when God has shown you the sin, and you continue in the sin, before you know it, you have such a hardened heart towards it that it doesn't even affect you. It's okay for you to look at pornography because you know the Lord's told you 1,000 times it's not, but you harden your heart so much that you can do it with ease.
Right.
It's a trap to destroy you.
Amen.
As a child of God, you have to have sense to know that that's a strange God. Anything that you do that causes you to participate in activities that are not of God is a strange God. And I don't know about you, but the scripture says to lay him down. The scripture says to give him up. The scripture says to let them go. Isn't that what Joshua said? He says, if it seems evil to you, you don't have to serve God. But if you're going to serve God, you have to put these things down.
Yes, yes, yes.
Put away those strange gods. Amen.
Yes.
Well, what else could be a strange God? A strange God. It could be a group of people. Sometimes you get together with Harry, Sue, and Sally. And Harry, Sue, and Sally got a different plan than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And these strange people, you become an accessory.
That's right. Okay.
You become an accessory to their destiny.
That's right.
When you align yourself with people that aren't doing the right thing,
right.
You become an accessory to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't say nothing to stop them, but you went along with it, you're following a strange God.
Amen. Amen.
Anything that you submit to that is not of God is a strange God.
Yes, right. Yes.
That could be a movie. You know you ain't supposed to be watching no rated R movies. Not to put you under law, but what kind of sense does that make? What do you expect to see?
Yeah.
What do you expect to hear? G, D, F, this, God, beat that. See people run around half naked. All these things to lead you away from God to plant seeds.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Strange God. It could be a video game. It could be a book. You know, they got R-rated books, but they call them, I don't know the name of the books, sorry. Anyway, we have to be careful of what strange gods can be. A strange god can be anything that is attached to your walk with God, but that is hindering you from going forward. If you, and here's how you can tell if you've got a strange god in your life. If you were to die right now and stand before God, what would he accuse you of? If you were to die right now,
Jesus,
and stand before God, what could Satan accuse you of? Can Jesus do anything for you if you don't obey?
No.
When you stand before God and Satan saying, oh, he gave his life to you, but he was serving me. Seriousness.
That's right.
This is no joke.
That's right.
If you go before God, and Satan will be there, and Satan knows what you're doing, because when you're not serving God, you are serving him. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus, he said he gave his life to you, but you and I both know that words are nothing.
Yeah.
You and I both know, God, that you determine things based on action.
Amen.
You and I both know, God, that he's no good. No, he's not. He's rotten to the core. All he does is talk about you, but he doesn't really serve you. I'll prove it to you, God. He said he was your servant, but when did he ever serve you? When did he ever give you the respect that you deserve?
Exactly.
told him to commit adultery, and he just committed adultery just like that. I told him to be with someone that wasn't equally yoked with him or her, and he said, okay, it's okay. I can, if Satan can prove that you're serving him, what can Jesus say? Because it's not about what we say in the end. I can talk all the day long about doing stuff. If I don't do it, what am I doing? If I talk about faithfulness and love and wanting to give God everything, and I never do it, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing something. You're serving someone. And I say these things because we have no idea when God's going to call us home. There are people that died this year that you think will be living for a long time. Bernie Mac died. You just don't think they're going to die.
Yeah.
That singer who lost her mom and dad and nephews, then she didn't think they were going to die. I think there was Mike Tyson's little girl died the other day strangled.
Yeah.
You don't know when God's going to call you. So we can either play the game of being Christian, or we can choose this day to give it all up for the sake of God. We can choose this day to make God happy. Do you know what makes God happy? Is when he can look and say, look at my servant Job. There's none like him. Not only does he praise me, he serves me. Not only does he talk a good talk, he's walking the good walk. Have you examined my servant Job? Can God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, about you? Can God trust you to do what he's asked you to do? You see, because why should God stay on our behalf if we make a false confession? What will a false profession avail anybody when they stand before God? How do you think God determines whether your profession of him is true or whether it's fake? By your fruits. By what you actually did. You know, I don't get my paycheck based off of what I said I did. I get my paycheck based off of what I did. We have to examine our walk with God today. God's grace is so long-suffering. But his grace will never alleviate you of the duty of obedience. Amen. Having God's grace and his love is free. We couldn't earn it, as I said earlier. None of us could have saved ourselves. We had no part to play in our salvation. But God is calling. I've shown you my grace. I've displayed my son on the cross for you. Choose this day. Are you going to serve me? Or are you going to serve yourself? There's one God I didn't bring up, and this is the biggest God of all. The strangest God of all is us.
Yeah.
You, me. We are our biggest problem.
Amen.
When you've got a problem with God, I guarantee it's because of you.
Amen.
If you have a problem in your walk with God, it's not because of your sister, it's not because of your neighbor, it's because of you. As David would say, it is I who have sinned. I have transgressed. Take responsibility for yourself.
Yes. Yes.
You can push the blame all you want on everybody else, but you're where you are today because of your choices.
Yes.
Because of what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because of where you wanted to go. Because of who you wanted to submit yourself under. You're where you are now because of what you've chosen to do.
Right.
But if you put your faith in God, he'll bring you to where
that's
you need
right,
to be.
That's right.
If you put your faith in God, he will bring you to where you need to be. And don't ask God, can he do it? Don't question if he will be willing to bring you out of the pit. Because the bottom line, he wants to see you flourish. He wants to see you free. He wants you to be established. He wants you to be a city that is set up on a hill. He wants you to do your good work before men that they might see you and glorify God. His plan is victory. He wants you to be an overcomer. He doesn't want you to be dead. He doesn't want you to be beaten up. He doesn't want you to be going through trials and have no testimony afterward. His tribulation is to only bring you to himself.
Hallelujah.
to do.
Amen.
And even though Joshua said the Lord would not forgive of their transgressions or sins, there's this funny thing about God. I never understand it. You can be in the worst pit of sin in your life. You could have done everything you knew to do wrong and done it 10 times fold. But there's this thing about God that when a poor man cries out, when you have a beat upon your breast moment, and you just ask God with a true heart to forgive you and to restore you, there's something about God's love that will. Amen.
Amen.
There's something about God's love that even though we have done the unimaginable things, He'll still say, welcome home.
Amen.
But we have to wake up.
That's right.
The children of God, they hadn't gotten it. They hadn't, even though God had done so much for them, they still had idols in their midst. Have you ever had sugar in your tank?
Yeah.
Anybody ever put sugar in your car? A little bit of sugar ain't going to hurt the car that much. But if you continue to allow the wrong things to get into your engine, sooner or later you'll choke and die. Having an idol, allowing something to fester in your life that is not of God, is sugar in your tank. You might not notice it right in front, but in the end you'll stop short and die.
Amen.
Again, how do you tell if there's idols in your life? What will Satan accuse you of? That's how you know. Because any idols that you have, I guarantee you they were planted by him. That's why Jesus said, I've given no place to Satan.
That's right.
One more idol that I want to bring up. Idol of self. Do not ever, and this is the most common mistake, do not ever set your standards to that of another Christian. What am I saying? Do not ever set your standards to that of another Christian. Well, I saw a pastor do this. That must mean it's okay for me to do. Well, I saw sister so-and-so do this. That must mean it's appropriate. Let me tell you something. Anybody can fall. Whether it be the ambassador, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist, the apostle, anybody can fall. But the standard for the Christian experience wasn't left up to me and you. God put in his book.
Right. That's right.
He said, what I have put in this book is the standard of Christian living.
Right.
What I put in this book is my righteousness.
Right.
What I put in this book is what I'm going to hold you accountable to.
Right.
Not to your neighbor, not to your sister,
right.
Not to your brother. They might have a false
right.
doctrine, but just so you know,
right. Yes, Jesus.
This is what's right.
That's right.
And if we do something that is not according to the book, it doesn't mean that it's right. It means that we need to learn, and that we need to repent, and that we need to grow. But I see it happening so often that we look up to a brother or sister in Christ, and before you know it, they're doing things they should not be doing. You go beyond them. You surpass them. And you let God make you into his image and his likeness. Today is the day, amen. We must get our priorities straight. We who have agreed to follow Christ have chosen to lay this world aside. How dare we go backwards and claim that we've gone forward? Everything is not acceptable to the Lord. If there are strange gods in the midst of this morning, it's time to let them go. It's time to let them go. We do not know when the Lord is going to sound the trump. We don't know when he's going to call us home. We all stand this morning.
Amen.
time to let go, amen. You and I cannot change someone. I can't wish them into believing. I can't wish them into being like me or like you or anybody else. And sometimes we forget that. We curse them when we give them what's not as okay. In Joshua's day, there was good news. And we were to go on and read the rest of the scripture that says, so Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. And it came to pass after those things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him on the border of his inheritance in Timorath, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of Hill of Gad. And verse 31 says this, and Israel served the Lord. Will we serve the Lord this morning? And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and have known all the works of the Lord, that for which he done for Israel. This morning, if there are idols in